Welcome back to the RMD podcast from Reverse Mortgage Daily, hosted by me, RMD editor Chris Clow. In this show, we speak with reverse mortgage business leaders, professionals, government officials, and thought leaders to provide listeners with the pulse of the reverse mortgage industry and all of the business and regulatory realities which affect it. In this episode, I'm joined by Angel Booth, the senior sales executive for Premier Reverse Closings, to talk about her origin story into the reverse mortgage business, how she continues to find her work in the space challenging and fulfilling, the enthusiasm she has for her work and her peers, as well as the current challenges and opportunities to be found in the realms of title and closings for the reverse mortgage business. Hope you enjoy it. Angel, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the RMD podcast. I'm really pleased to have you.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate that very much.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I think that it might be a good idea, you know, for the two people who might not know who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself right now and what it is that you do in the reverse mortgage industry.
Well, for those two people who don't know me, I am Angel Booth, and I am the senior sales executive here at Premier Reverse Closings. We are a full service title and escrow company. We are national based, which basically means we do business across the entire nation. There are a couple states that we don't work in, which would be Hawaii, Iowa, Louisiana, and we are licensed in New York, but we just choose not to work there. It's just easier that way. But yeah, we handle both title and escrow, backwards, forwards, but strictly in reverse. And we do some conventional, some VA, some purchases, but primarily I would say 97% of what we do is reverse mortgages.
Excellent. Great. Well, I probably don't need to tell you that it's not a common dream that kids have to grow up and work in the reverse mortgage industry. So I'm very curious, since everybody takes their own path into the business, what was your early life like and how did you get your professional start?
It was an accident. You are correct. No one just says, oh, I just want to do reverse mortgages, because they are just the bee's knees. I mean, I think overall, they end up being a great product, a great help for our seniors. They're actually obviously profitable for our broker and lender partners. But for me, it was an accident. I actually was working in the conventional space. I had started there. I was fresh on the scene, just a measly assistant. Shout out to all the assistants out there. But I just kind of stumbled upon it, honestly. And in working there, was introduced to it. And back in my day, you had these large group mass exodus, if you would say, where, you know, you would be recruited. If you had certain skill levels, companies would seek you out, and you kind of just kind of went and moved around as a group. And that's how it kind of started. And so when I made my first transition, it was to the reverse mortgage industry. And I worked with a company, Alliance Title. And again, I started out just kind of as an assistant, no real, you know, I wasn't of much value, just did my job every day. But the more and more I learned, you know, under a really strong escrow officer, I just started, you know, enjoying what I did and grasping it and learning new things and finding ways to do things easier and more efficient. And it just kind of spiraled from there. So I kind of tripped and fell into reverse and I've been there ever since.
Sure. Well, no, I think a lot of people really have, but it sounds like then that your first real interaction with the product category was, you were already kind of professionally established. So I'm curious, do you remember the first time you even heard about reverse mortgages?
Yeah, the transition. So again, when we were kind of made our transition over to the new company, we were told it wouldn't be what we were doing at the prior company, it would be reverse mortgages. Never heard of the term before, didn't know anything about it. As I worked there within the first 6 months to a year, you heard or I felt a negative connotation associated with that term of what I did for a living. And I was, you know, I was young, I didn't know anything different. And I'm like, well, why would you think that? And then you hear of stories and, you know, things that happened. But I've learned the more that I've worked in this space, it's really no different than the you know, flack and press you get from conventional mortgages. It's the same thing. It's just, I think because we're such a small niche group of what we do, it looks a lot worse on us if we have these same types of headlines pop up when you have something like a conventional loan. You have these things come up, I'm pretty sure, way more than you would in the reverse world, but it's such a large product and it's such a large base of business, it doesn't come across the same. So I think people were skeptical or concerned or worried about, you know, what was happening to our seniors and, you know, predatory lending and things of that nature. But it's the same things that go on in the forward conventional world. It's just on a smaller scale. So it looks the part, but it definitely wasn't something I knew about, but I learned really quickly that it was definitely a benefit. It helped, I think, more than it hurt. And it's definitely a tool that people need for, you know, financial planning, which I'm glad they are finally starting to get to that point where financial planners actually look at it as a estate planning tool and in ways to let the senior age in place and stay in their home and not have to sell or move unless they want to.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess I'm curious about how you developed your enthusiasm for the product category, because I think anybody who has met you, particularly at like a Nirmala conference or some other kind of industry event, would say that you're a common fixture at these events and your enthusiasm is very infectious. When did you realize that this could be a long-term career for you in this business specifically, but also how did you come to cultivate your general perspective on the business and what it can potentially do for people, in addition to giving you a livelihood, of course?
Right. Well, I think for me, again, I started at the bottom. I mean, like I said, you know, the smallest thing on the scale that I could be doing, I was doing it, even down to just filling up the copy machines, you know, taking phone calls if I need to, making lunch runs. So I think I'm naturally somewhat of a people person. So I like helping people. That was a factor. And, you know, once I started doing more and making more of a connection with the, you know, the loan officers or the brokers and or the processors or underwriters, and I'm helping them accomplish a means to an end of a file or a situation. And then I, you know, maybe start communicating with the borrowers and you hear these stories, you hear that they can't, you know, go out and buy groceries. You go and drop off a set of documents for a notary and you see that, you know, they might be living in a little bit of filth because they don't have help and they're alone and they can't afford a cleaner to come out. They can't, you know, afford to kind of keep up and manage things. And you start hearing these stories day in and day out. And at the end of the day, when they're done with their transactions, you know that you help them sustain a little longer. You know that you help them pay for medications they can't afford or groceries that they can't afford or alleviated some debt that was hanging over their head and stressing them. So I think for me, you know, overall, the reason that helped me kind of stick with it, stay with it, and just grow and blossom in it was just the desire and want to help people, whether that be the borrower, my coworkers, you know, our industry partners. It's just, I guess, more of a natural thing that has come to me. And, you know, we've done a lot of things and by means of like volunteer work. And, you know, I've made personal, you know, visits to borrowers where, you know, we went and they didn't know, they didn't ask, but we helped them with things and they really appreciate that, whether it's just taking the time to sit and chat with them for 20 minutes because they don't have anyone else to talk to. It's just that need or want and yearning to help someone. And then when you see them appreciate it and they're happy and their smile or their genuine, you know, wholehearted thankfulness of your contribution, that helps me. We've got our hard days, which I have my hard days for sure. But I think overall, you know, even when I have brokers going up to a Nirmala conference and someone's like, hey, I recognize your picture. You helped me on that file or you helped me with that funding. You know, it makes me feel good to know that what I am doing, which is so small compared to what so many others do, it's still helping and making a difference in some way.
Absolutely. No, that's very well expressed, of course. I guess I'm curious, can you tell me a little bit about more of the specifics regarding how you went from an assistant up to a senior sales executive? I mean, was it kind of a long road? Were you sure that that's the path that you wanted to take? How did that play out for you?
Oh, goodness, no. It just, you know, I think things always happen for a reason. And, you know, sometimes situations that might be perceived as bad or scary or, you know, daunting, sometimes they work out in your favor. I started as an assistant. And like I said, I just kind of grasped everything. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to do more. I wanted to jump in without someone telling me or asking me. I'm a little bit hyper with, you know, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little hyper sometimes. And so, you know, I do my day, you know, whatever I had on the books for the day. And I'm like, I'm bored. What can I do? And I would go ask people, hey, how can I help you? Or, you know, oh, you know, you don't know anything about this. Okay, well, you can tell me, just tell me the one part you need done, I'll do it. You know, I was that kind of a person. So I think that kind of translated well around, you know, the people that were in place to kind of see me do those things. And, you know, went from, you know, being an assistant to being an escrow officer. And then that turned into being a operations supervisor. And then that turned into being kind of a liaison between, you know, the working staff who worked on the files, and then maybe, you know, escalations. And then we had a severe change that happened, you know, within our company, and we downsized and split a little bit off. And when that happened, it presented some opportunities for me, which I never thought I would be in the position I'm in now. I just never really had a desire for it, but you got to do what you got to do. You pick up and you help out your team with whatever they need. And it just so kind of happened to work out where I could relate with the clients, obviously, because I've been working with them for the last 14 years, and I can relate to the brokers and lenders because I've been an escrow officer and an assistant for so long. So I knew what I was talking about when I was having to deal with, you know, selling, quote unquote, to our industry partners. So I think that relationship and the trust was kind of there already, just because they knew me, maybe in not that capacity, but just they knew me in a way they trusted, you know, my opinion or my involvement. So it made it really easy to transition from more of the operation sides to the sales side and upper management side. So it worked out great for me. We've had some tough years and some tough months here and there throughout the time, but overall, I think it's really been good, and I can't complain.
Excellent. Great. Well, I think that's something that we all hope for, is an eventful career. And yeah, of course, bad days come with that, but you know, still the ability to keep on moving. I think
you have to.
I guess I'm curious. So how many years total have you been involved in the reverse mortgage industry?
Let's see. I think I'm going on my 21st year.
Okay.
Going on my 21st year total. Sure. Being in the reverse space specifically. And, you know, it's come a long way. I would definitely say to come in the industry and not know about a reverse mortgage and what it was, and to be where I am now, I think we've come a really, really long way. And I'm actually really proud of to say that I'm a part of that, that I walk that. You know, I see people and I don't know them, and we're having conversations like, oh, I've been doing this for 15 years. And I'm like, oh yeah, I've been in it for 20. And they look at me and they're like, how? I'm there right with you. You remember MetLife, Bank of America, and their eyes get big and we laugh. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, so you've seen an abundance of changes in that time.
So many changes. Yeah. You're always holding your breath. When are we going to get that change? When are we going to get that heckin' bulletin update? You never know what you're going to get.
in your mind, what are like the biggest changes that you've observed in terms of how the industry has been progressing during the course of your career?
I think the biggest is that the financial planners and attorneys are on board, and they see this tool that can be used to help our seniors. I think in the beginning, it was taboo. It was, well, we don't speak of these things, and, you know, we could never. And, oh, you know, it was just so much negative press. And now it's like you have networking and focus groups that kind of have these types of different entities involved, and they see the benefit, and they are, you know, referring partners and learning more information and getting more on board to present this to, you know, their clients as an option to help them with financial planning for their future. So I would say definitely it was a long time coming for our financial planners to be on board with the product. And I think they're totally there. I think we can go still further, but we've got a good start with their presence being in industry with us now too.
Sure. Yeah. Great. What about challenges? What would you say are the biggest challenges that you faced in your career? Do you think they're tied to some of the challenges that the industry more broadly has gone through, like at the wake of the financial crisis, for instance, or maybe even most recently the pandemic? Or would you say the challenges that you faced might be a little different from that?
I think in our space, it's actually a little different. When we're on the conventional side of things, when interest rates go down or, you know, right now our market is ridiculous with the housing prices and all that. Someone's turning 62 or 55 or whatever the new age that they have these new programs out. Someone's having a birthday every day, which is an advantage to us. We're you know, growing clientele by the numbers. So I think when you compare it and you can say, you know, if there's a conventional product that doesn't offer, you know, these three different huge factors that a reverse mortgage would offer on top of those other factors that a conventional loan would do for you, you kind of have an upper hand. You have an advantage. The disadvantage would be, again, the negative press, the lack of education that maybe people have about the product and its changes. They have this one perception. And if you're not involved in it and you're not finding out more information, you kind of have this interpretation of what it is and you have that mindset. You can't really do anything about it. And we know that with seniors, sometimes, you know, they kind of had their stance and you really can't change their mind. So you're going to have a whole set of clientele that they think how they think and you can't change them. But I think the more education is out there and the more feedback and client referrals that, you know, people who have good experiences and share them are not ashamed to share what's going on in their personal financial lives. And it can benefit someone else when they're hearing stories like that that are helpful. I think it kind of sheds a new light and it puts us in a different position where, yes, you still have to worry about interest rates, but there's so many different ways that you can use the product to your advantage. You know, just because you don't have to make a payment, it doesn't mean that you can't. You know, things can still be a benefit with a reverse mortgage versus having a conventional loan and still being financially sound. So, I don't think I answered that correctly for you, but just my thought process of thinking that, there's definitely opportunity, and I don't think we are affected the same way that the conventional side of things are. As far as right now, you know, I'm sure you see it daily with all the articles and stories going on about massive layoffs with companies and just whole operations shutting down. You know, we deal with lightening the load, but not in that same capacity. Nowhere near those types of numbers are we dealing with within our industry, because we stay pretty steady with what we're doing here. So,
sure. If you think back to what the reverse mortgage environment was like 10 years ago, where we were still, the industry at large was still dealing with the fallout of the financial crisis and maybe some irresponsibly originated loans, and you look at where we are today in terms of reputation, how do you think things have changed positively or negatively?
Well, I definitely think it shed light on our industry, because I think that we had our own past in history, you know, as far as when I came into the game compared to the last 10 years. And I feel like some of the HUD guidelines that were in place, we got because of what was happening on the conventional side. I truly believe that a lot of the policy and procedures that they put in place stemmed from largely a lot of the things that were going on the conventional side, because we had already addressed a lot of the things that we had on our, you know, history's past. But again, we're such a small industry. A lot of that wasn't really getting picked up. So I feel like when, you know, that financial crisis came to fruition, we had to deal with changes, you know, whether it was, you know, the HECM lending limit, whether it was, you know, protecting the non-borrowing spouse, whether it was, you know, how we view and look at trusts, how we look at, you know, the complete chain of title, just so many different things that we were already kind of on board of making changes within our industry, that a lot of the changes that happened throughout the industry on both conventional side and reverse, we're kind of used to that. We know that things are not going to always stay the same. We know that things are going to change, but more often than not, they're changing for the betterment of the product. They're changing to help control that narrative and that perception of what the product is. And when they see things that are, you know, maybe hurting us, they fix them. You know, obviously the HECM to HECMs are not the best thing for us, but as we see, we have ebbs and flow, and you know, we try to correct that the best way that we can. We know that we can't solely rely on HECMs to HECMs. And so things happen that change the narrative, and it's going to change the numbers as far as orders and loans. And we have to really focus on getting new originated loans and not so many of the HECM to HECMs, you know, but, you know, I think that overall, most of what we deal with in current day has stemmed from, you know, the issues of the past. And I think that they're doing the best that they can to try to correct it as quickly as they can. But, you know, nothing's going to change and happen overnight. But I think we are definitely heading in the right direction with the changes that are being made and implemented, even if they're a little bit difficult for us to have to work through and navigate, we know it's for the betterment of the program. So we have to be okay with that and let those things happen.
Well said. Again, much appreciated. I guess one of the things I'm curious about is considering what you see every day, what do you think the business should be most focused on at the moment? Because this is a very unusual time. You know, inflation could affect the trajectory of the product, and it certainly could affect the amount of proceeds that borrowers get at the end of the day. But in terms of, you know, having an eye toward growth, where do you think the industry should be focusing its attention?
That's a tough question. Honestly, I would say I know for us, at least for the last 2.5 years, it's been busy. It's been moving. It's been very fast paced. And I think that sometimes when things are moving really fast, underlying issues or problems are sometimes not addressed because it's so hectic and so busy. So I think that right now with this slowdown, with the inflation and the housing market being what it is, I think it's a really good time for, you know, companies, all companies, vendors alike, brokers, lenders, title companies, investors, all of them, policy and procedure. We see and we have seen what not to do and what doesn't work and what does work. And I think it's a good time to maybe button up and say, hey, we're going to have some downtime. Let's try to focus on being more efficient. Let's try to focus on, you know, making sure that our partners are aware of what's needed to help make sure we're doing what's in the best interest for the borrower. And I think that that comes from policy and procedure, because I think sometimes we can make exceptions or we can try to find a way to make something work. But if we have to try that hard to make something work, maybe it's just not the best option. And we just figure out a different way to help that borrower and not be so concerned sometimes with, you know, the revenue that stems from that loan closing, but more so the outcome that's going to help affect the borrower, the community, and the industry as a whole. I think that would be a good time to start working on policy and procedure that's going to help all of us do better and be better collectively as an industry.
Is that what you think might also help industry growth, or do you think that there might be some other things that reverse mortgage professionals should focus on to actually grow the status of the business?
Well, I think that alone is going to come with some positives. You know, you can open up 1,000 loans just because you can. Does it mean you're going to close all of them? No. So if you focus on good, solid, you know, product to produce, good client base to solicit, and you know that if I open up 700 files, they're all going to close because they've been pre-approved. We've looked into the history. We know what issues we're going to deal with. We know how to tackle these things head on versus just throwing anything at the wall and seeing if it sticks. I think that in essence will help to grow a more solid, you know, foundation within our community of trust and knowledge and, you know how that's going to, you know, reap the benefits of success just because we're taking that all the way back to the beginning, not trying to fish and filter through it during and through the process. We already did all that beforehand. So we've got a much better business model to work with. And our clients are going to trust us more. Our vendors are going to trust us more. The client referrals are going to trust the process and see, this is seamless. This is smooth. I want to tell someone else about my experience. I want to tell, you know, a family member or a coworker or whoever, because I want to be a part of this. This was easy. This worked out. This helped them. I think the word of mouth and just the ease of knowing you're not going to have a long drawn out process and change after change. And, oh, we didn't know this. And, oh, we didn't know that. Or, oh, this is a new procedure because we're on top of it the whole way through. I think it will help grow the industry through and through in time for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really well taken. I guess I only really have one question for you, give you a chance to speak directly to RMD's audience of originators, brokers, executives, government officials in some cases. Is there anything that you want to say to them about, you know, the state of the business right now, what they should be focused on. Any message?
I think I would say to anyone in our industry, no matter if you're a notary down to a, you know, elected official, I would say don't be afraid to partner with your competition, with people you don't know. Don't assume. Just be open and ask questions. I'm a very huge fan of, I don't care if someone is in my same wheelhouse. I don't care if you're a title and escrow company too. We can still be friends and we can lean on each other. We can pick each other's brains. We can find out how working with each other versus, you know, I won't say against because we all work together, but just, you never know the opportunities that are going to come from someone who doesn't, you know, work exactly in your wheelhouse. I think just being open to trying new things, having new initiatives, is a good thing. You know, you can make some really good, solid relationships and partnerships, just trying something different. Just be open to change. And try new things out. You never know what's going to happen.
Excellent. Great. Well, Angel, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of this. I really appreciate it. And I hope that everybody who listens to the episode takes some notes from your own experiences. Thank you for sharing them today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. And, you know, we always enjoy those podcasts and those articles that you send out. We're always looking like, what's happening next? What's going down? So thank you for what you do. And, you know, you play such a, you know, important role in coming back and letting us know what's going on in these streets.
Oh, well, I appreciate the kind words. Much appreciated. Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of the RMD Podcast. Again, I want to extend a very special thanks to Angel Booth for taking the time to tell us about how she sees the business and the path that she took to enter it. For more news and insights on the reverse mortgage industry, be sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at reversemortgagedaily.com. If you haven't already, subscribe to the RMD Podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast content. I'm Chris Clow, and this has been a production of HW Media. The RMD Podcast is produced by Alyssa Branch. Be sure to come back for an all-new episode very soon. See you next time.